I'm sure you guys saw the media release from PPD with the after the shooting incident at Vibes and Smoothies at North 9th Avenue business. There have been 32 police responses since March at this location. And I know that PPD, and we were aware of that before this incident, has had many meetings with the owners about the atmosphere that is building in and around the club. This has become a nuisance enough that we were seeing recurring breaking of laws and breaking of rules, issues and concerns around this particular location.
So the mayor yesterday talking about this says that Vibes and Smoothies, where we had that shooting where one woman got shot, non-life-threatening injuries, as I understand it, they're looking for a car, that this place has become a nuisance. A lot of calls for service, a lot of crimes going on there, and PPD and public safety is not able to just take a passive approach to this, and not that they've been passive, but, you know, like, we need to do something. He says it's getting to be like the, you know, the Club Climax, like that was when he took over office. So Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Always good to have you. So you tell me, from PPD's perspective, I've never been to Vibes and Smoothies. I don't know anything about it except there was the event and then what the mayor said yesterday. What kind of place is it? What's going on from PPD's point of view?
Well, the name sounds like a great place, and maybe it started out that way, but we've had a lot of calls there, like the mayor mentioned, and over things just from loud music all the way up to, unfortunately, this past weekend, to a shooting, a drive-by shooting, where a young female was shot in the head, and we're lucky that she's going to be okay. But we've had a lot of calls there, and the squeaky wheel gets the grease. We're going to pay a lot of attention to that business. Late at night, and, you know, and like you mentioned also, this has happened a couple times before, but what's unique about this particular business is if you look across the street, you have homes, and it's not just, you know, there's residences very close to there, so we're going to pay extra attention to that, and hopefully between police action and speaking with the owners, I know Chief Winstrom is doing that. Hopefully we can come to a conclusion to where the business can keep going, but we're going to have a lot less calls for service at that location.
So it's right in the middle of, like, nothing. I mean, it's at bars and Ninth. And I don't even know, like, what do they do? It sounds like, you know, it's an Orange Julius, or it sounds like a tropical smoothie. It's what it sounds like. Is it a nightclub? Is it a bottle club? Is it, like, what is it?
Well, the smoothies is one part of it, but then they also host events. It's an event space.
Okay.
So it could be pretty much whatever it needs to be, depending on who's, you know, what's going on that particular evening.
Do they have a liquor license?
I don't know.
Okay. But there's alcohol, there's drugs, there's bad stuff going on. Like, that's the kind of the characterization, right?
Yeah, it is. That's the issue, is crowds form and then things get out of hand. And, you know, Sunday night, this shooting occurred from 9th Avenue. You can't, whether you can place it directly on Vibes and Smoothies, I don't know. But the attention is there. The problems have been there. The calls for service have been there.
And you guys had put out that you're looking for a car. You said you think that it's a Buick. It was a brand that I wasn't even familiar with. I actually happened to see one like that somewhere else yesterday. But this is where we're at, still in the investigation?
Yeah, it's a white Buick Envista. It's a smaller vehicle. These are popular with rental car companies, so it's a newer model. But the picture is not the best, but it's better than nothing. That's what we have at this point, and we're urging anybody that has any information, if you want to remain anonymous, to call Crime Stoppers or call the Pensacola Police Department.
And the shots were fired into a crowd that was outside. It was through the doors inside. What actually happened here?
Yeah, they were on the parking lot, so we're very lucky. There were 5 to 8 rounds fired, and with one person getting struck, that's bad enough, but we're glad we didn't have 8 people struck.
Wow. Okay. So and then, you know, since we're kind of in the midst of this conversation, the license plate readers are, you tell me if I got any of this wrong, they are currently off in Pensacola, and so they were not able to be used. Would they have been able to be used in this situation?
Well, it depends on the route, but I would have to guessing because of where this happened and where we know the vehicle made an exit, which was westbound on Bayou, we do believe that they would have been useful in the situation.
And they are currently off, right? The city and the county, like all the cameras in our county are off at the moment, right?
Yes, they are.
Okay. Okay. Well, this is, I mean, this is what we talked about, right? That there's a trade-off in crime fighting and crime solving capability. And, you know, if you're going to ask for them to be turned off, then, you know, understand that there is a consequence to that, right? Because Ninth is a big corridor, Bayou's a big corridor, and, you know, I'm assuming I'm not the first person to raise this question, at least internally, if not externally, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I'm afraid it's going to be a conversation in the future as well.
Okay. All right. We are talking to Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Just to follow up on that, you know, license plate reader thing, we're about, what, 8 or 9 days into the order. You know, the PPD decided last Tuesday, so I guess we're 9 days post shutoff. How is it affecting, if at all, you know, how is it affecting crime fighting, crime investigations? You tell me, you're on the inside of the agency.
Well, I can tell you that we haven't had any arrests because of that, because they're off. And we did have I believe it was on Tuesday morning, we had a call where a person saw a young lady that they believed that was being abducted, being taken and put into a car forcefully. And that's something, again, that we would have looked around for that vehicle, and we didn't have those cameras. I don't believe anything ever came to that. A lot of times you'll see a teenage or younger child that jumps out of the car, and the parent has to force them back in, which it could have been that situation. But we just don't know. But there's going to be more, unfortunately, more instances where we could have used those cameras, and we can't. We have to go back, and we're not going to give up. We have the best detectives in the country, and we're going to keep working these calls, working these crimes and these cases. And it may take us a bit longer, but we're going to do what we do with or without the cameras.
And, you know, of course, that's something that people have said is, well, did we not have crime fighting before this? And the answer is, of course we did, and we still do. And there's lots of tools that the police have, but this is proven to be a very effective one. And yet, of course, as we've talked about many times, the trade-off concerns about being able to travel freely, not being monitored by the government, and abuse of that network, if it ever came under the control of political leaders who made rules that were really, you know, violating people's rights, and what would the law enforcement do at that point? But as I said many times, this is going to be the trade-off, is crimes will go unsolved or get solved slower, or, you know, exigent circumstances will drag out because we don't have that ability. And, you know, here we have a couple of them already, which is, we're adults, you know, if we're going to make choices, we have consequences. So, Mike, we always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for me this week?
Yeah, let's talk about the colors of cars. And one of the myths is that red cars are targeted by police. First of all, we're not targeting anybody's car because of the color. If the radar picks up or the laser picks up a vehicle speeding, we could not care less what color that vehicle is. But statistically, it's white vehicles that get pulled over by the police the most. And that is because white vehicles make up roughly between 25% and 30% of all vehicles on the road. So it has nothing to do with the color. It has everything to do with the amount of white vehicles that are on the road.
Oh, so this is a this is just a lesson in statistics. It's like the, you know, men get more tickets than women because they're bad drivers. No, because men do more of the driving. Like, if you just, you know, white cars get more tickets because there are more white cars.
Yeah, and sometimes you can argue that traffic crashes happen more on beautiful sunny days than they do on rainy days, and that might be because people are paying less attention on nice days and more attention when the weather is bad. So there's lots of myths out there. And another one has to do with the colors of cars that are involved in crashes. And the car that is involved in the most crashes, the color that is involved in most crashes, is gray and silver. And that is because that color blends into roads, concrete buildings, and gray skies. Also, gray vehicles become very hard to see during fog, rain, snow, or overcast days. So people tend to not see those vehicles as fast as they do others. But also, here's another one. This is just for dawn and dusk. Black vehicles are 12% higher at dawn and dusk than other vehicles to be involved in a crash. Gray vehicles, 11%, silver, 10%, and red and blue, 7% higher risk during those hours.
You know, as as I like to say, it's not gray, it's road camouflage. You know, that's my car is gray. My wife always says, why would you want a car that's the color of the road? I'm like, yeah, I know. But cars are less colorful these days. You've been a cop long enough to know that, you know, the oranges and the greens and the yellows of yesterday are just not common anymore. It's white and black and gray and silver are the dominant colors on the road, right?
Yeah, they are, but the colors are coming back. I'm a truck guy, and I just saw the 27 models that are coming out, and some of these oranges and reds are back. Some of these bright blues are back, so we'll see what happens with that.
You know, and it is interesting. You mentioned, you know, the high frequency of crashes at certain times of day, and as you said, you know, bright and sunny days, it's a different – it's not necessarily because they're hidden in the rain, although that can be true as well if you don't turn your lights on as you're supposed to do when the wipers are on by law. But, you know, it's also the fact that people are paying less attention. I don't know if you heard me talking about this, maybe it's last week, but one of the weirdest stories I came across recently is that on big album release days like Taylor Swift and Beyonce and, who's the singer that sang at the Super Bowl? I just can't think of his name. Bad Bunny. That on big album release days, there are more deaths, actually, you know, a significant number more deaths on the roads, statistically significant number, because people are distracted paying attention to the album instead of doing the driving. It's weird things like that you wouldn't think of that affect people's ability to drive safely, right?
Yeah, it looks like we learned from each other. I didn't know that one, so... I'll put that one in the old bank for future use. But but the thing about it is, what started everything on all these crashes began with the cell phones, and it's just, you know, there's touch free, hands free, however you want to call it, but we still are focusing on the conversation more than we are driving, and it ends up in crashes, especially with our young people. So we will tell parents until we're blue in the face to please your new drivers, no cell phones. No other teenagers in the cars, because unfortunately we see a lot of young people lose their lives or being seriously injured in crashes because of distractions.
Absolutely. It's so important. And by the way, you know, we had an incident in Escambia County. I think it was not in the city, where a young child got hit crossing a road at a school bus stop. I know it's still fairly early in the school year, and I think, like I said, this is in the county, not the city, but can you just, you know, in your sternest cop voice, can you please remind people to please pay attention, be safe at these bus zones?
Yeah, because that's one thing we will not give you a break on, that and car seat violations. You're not going to get a break. It's very expensive, and it's incredibly dangerous. That's why those laws are in effect, incredibly dangerous to our children. And, we can't emphasize that enough, to please pay attention around the school buses and the school zones, because we are. And if you get a citation in there, it's not cheap at all.
And just for people who do not realize, I've often mentioned that in the state of Florida, you cannot get written a ticket for being 5 or less over the speed limit. You have to be 6 or more over. They can stop you and warn you, but you cannot get a ticket. In a school zone, it's 1. If you go 26 and a 25 or 21 and a 20, it's 1 mile an hour in a school zone. There is no gray zone, right?
That's correct. So that's something that we obviously take very, very seriously.
And rightly so. All right, Mike Wood, he is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you so much for the time. I always appreciate the information and for what you do to keep us safe. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, and be careful in that gray car.